Tech Talk with Jess Kelly. This is News Talk.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up this week, we'll hear how Amazon's AWS is giving back to the Tala community and how it's never too late to consider a career in tech. Plus, we'll discuss the app that could replace Instagram, having received a glowing endorsement from actor Channing Tatum. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com or tweet us with #TechTalkNT. But first, Amazon Web Services, you may know them as AWS, partnered with Technological University Dublin for the first time to sponsor 20 students to enrol on the Data Center Technician Training Program. This program trains students through academic and practical means to become data center technicians. The first group of students recently graduated, and I got to meet a few of them alongside the head of computing at TUD and Mike Beery of AWS.
Emmett Kelly from Tala. My own background is basically I've been 15 years doing a mechanic. So just when I left school, I went into a 4-year apprenticeship, started that off, worked through garages for the last 15 years in Ireland and Australia. How I got into this role was I was down in Tala IT. I just wanted to further myself, and I was actually going back there to have a look to see about doing an engineering degree. So I was down there looking at an engineering degree, and guys from AWS were down there, and I was like, right, great, started talking to them. Chatted to them, they pretty much sold it to me on the day. So I applied, signed up, and here I am today.
And so how have you found doing like your work as a mechanic into something that I'm sure is much more structured and that there is sort of a career prospect from? Have you got satisfaction from that?
Great satisfaction, actually, yeah. The roles kind of transverse into each other. Like being a mechanic, obviously I had to diagnose and solve problems daily. Coming into the data center, I'm kind of doing the same sort of thing. Like I'm looking at things, diagnosing, solving things daily. So it did transverse into each other, and pretty much getting on good there now.
And so have you enjoyed the education aspect? Because it can be tricky once you go into the workplace. A few years in, you think you kind of know it all and you have your routine and you have your systems down. That's great. Did you find it strange going back into a learning environment?
Not really. It was difficult, to be honest with you, but I love learning. I've always liked learning. That's probably why I said that I wanted to go back to college. To be honest, it is quite difficult, and it was quite strenuous at the start. When we signed up for the course, I had to do 4 days nights, which were 6 to 10, and then a Saturday also. So it was quite a lot of work at the start, up until Christmas.
And did you feel the benefit, you know, that corny notion of like feeling your horizons broaden? Did you actually feel that you were being opened up into a new world by doing this studying?
100%. Like, I'm much more confident nowadays. If you had asked me last year, say September last year, what would I be doing in a year's time, I would have definitely said, yeah, still in the garage. There's no way I'd be saying, like, I'm in here in an Amazon office talking to my News Talk. So, yeah, it's been really good. It's brought me on along as a communicator and problem solver, just all around as a person, basically. Like.
And do you feel confident in your career prospects? Because the skill set that you're picking up at the moment is going to be incredibly valuable today, but also as we go on.
Definitely, yeah. As you know, like, there's data centers popping up all over the world, in Ireland especially. Like, it's a great climate for it. So getting the skill set and actually getting the knowledge and the training off Amazon and off the college was invaluable, basically. So it was really good to get onto the program and do this.
In terms of your day-to-day, when you're learning, like, what exactly are you learning to do, and how are those skill sets then applied in the workplace?
So day to day, I would go in the morning. There'd be a whole lot of tickets, which is basically a problem with a server, say. I would go in and have a look at them, troubleshoot on the ticket, go through a whole lot of faults, and pick out what I think is wrong. Then I'd actually go down to the hardware itself and nut out and maybe do a couple of little tests and figure out exactly what is going wrong, fix it, and then basically see, does it solve the problem.
And do you enjoy it?
I do, I love it. As the last 15 years I've been fixing things, so it's good. It's new, it's different, it's clean as well. I like coming home clean. Being a mechanic, I was obviously getting dirty every day, and I'm getting a little bit older as well, so I suppose this is a little bit easier on the body. It's not as strenuous. So.
And on that point of being a little bit older, if someone is listening to this and they're contemplating stepping back into education, maybe they never did a third level course or degree first time around, Is it something that you would encourage people to do? Because I'm sure it's a ballsy move to step out of a career that's paying the bills into something that is completely different.
Definitely, I definitely recommend them to do it. I say don't even think about it, just go and do it. It is going to be scary. I just bought a house there last year. The girlfriend was saying to me, like, you can't go back to college, you can't, like, how are we going to pay the bills if you go and do an internship? And I said, listen, look, I know I'm going to be able to do this. You just have to stick with it. You kind of give up a little bit of things as well. Like, you give up your weekends, you give up your nights, but it's for a short period of time. So if you can commit to it and you have a willingness to learn, like, just go for it and you will be happy.
My name is Iclair Alves de Oliveira. I'm Brazilian. But I always like to say that I was born in a very small village in Brazil, and before I used to be a native, a native village from, like, the people from South America, and we became a small, still be a small village, you know.
And from what I know about your background, you have led many lives. You're still a young man, but you've led many lives. I believe you've been a police officer and have performed ballet, is that correct?
Yes, yes. So when I was a kid, I started, like, dancing in my primary school. And then I went through so many things in my college. I think my college was very important to develop a lot of all my abilities, which I have now. And as an actor, dancer, and science as well. I was very interested in science. And I never said this, but all my friends sometimes text on Facebook, do you remember 50 grade 6 that we were winners in the science competition, like, for 3 years? I was very interested in everything which, like, the college could provide, you know. But I got interested in drama. I went to drama school when I was 13 years old, a drama school for kids. And then years later, I went to a drama school, like a graduation. And between this time, I started learning sign language as well. I was studying computer as well. And a lot of things came across. So I can't really say, oh, I'm only actor, police officer. And the police department came when I was 26, maybe, and very late, you know. I just applied because I couldn't find a way to get money or provide, like, financially. And I applied for the police department and I became police officer, and a lot of things happened then.
But you seem to have such a broad spectrum of interests. So when you went to college, was there one thing that you wanted to do, or was that thing just make money?
No, when I was a kid, I never thought about money, you know. I just started to realize that, well, I need money to survive when I was, like, a grown person. So I didn't grow too much, as you see, but after, like, 20, 25 years old, I start, like, okay, I don't have where to live, I don't have a car, I can't really provide financially, even I want to live my own, you know, and it was when I applied for the police department.
And so what led you then to coming to Ireland?
Well, it's a big surprise even for me, because I never planned to come to Ireland. I was going because that time back in 2011, I was studying a post-graduation in Brazilian sign language, and also was teaching sign language in my department for the police officers who worked in the terminal bus in my city. So I decided to go to France to study sign language, French sign language, to kind of start, like, figuring out how Brazilian sign language was had a French influence before, and what had changed, like, during the time, you know. And I was in New York, flying from New York to France, and when I was flying and I saw that on the map, a very small island. I didn't even realize where it was. I just saw, like, England on the right side and this small island. Okay, small island there, that's beautiful. I didn't remember, like, I didn't come across YouTube, cranberries, whatever. We have, like, a very strong Irish reference in Brazil, musicians and art in general, like Oscar Wilde. I had Oscar Wilde in my drama school. I did like even Snow White. And I went to France to study. When I got in France in my sign language school, I met a guy, a Brazilian guy, who was studying English here. And then, yes, and then he told me, well, I'm traveling here in France, I don't speak French. Do you speak French? I said, yes, I do speak French. And he said, I'm studying English in Ireland. I said, well, Ireland, I think I saw this name a few days ago. And then, well, interesting, can you give me the card, your school contact or whatever, because I really need to study English, improve my skills, because I want to apply for like a PhD in sign language. And he gave me a card, and a few months later was here in October 2011.
Wow, so you're here a while.
Yeah, a while, yes. I just love this place.
Yeah, you clearly like it. So when you came, did you do your PhD, and what took you to where you are now?
That's the thing. I didn't start my PhD. I finished my post-graduation, what you guys call here as a master's in sign language. But I didn't apply for my PhD. And after 3 years in Ireland, I wanted more, you know, and I was, because before I was developing project, trying to connect technology and sign language and create applications to translate sign language. And then I was walking on Westmoreland Street, and I saw CCT College, a computer of technology that time, and I just went to this college and I asked about how is to apply to study software development, and they provided the information, and I applied to study computer science. I just graduated in 2011 when I found out about the course data center technician in Tala.
Okay, and so I'm so baffled by all the different aspects of your brain. You just seem like the most interesting person. So did you like the data technician course, and did you take to it easily?
Everybody asks the same question because people don't see dancers, actors, or sign language teachers being interested in computers or even programming languages. And I love what I do, and I don't know why. If I want to do something, I start loving everything. I still love dancing and acting, or even translate sign language, use sign language, developing project with sign language. I just see this moment now, it's a time to connect everything what I had before, you know, realizing. And my project is translate sign language using technology. So I love the whole conception about not only a data center technician course, but technology and sign language.
There's a lot of talk about STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and maths. And that's now becoming STEAM because arts is coming into that. So it's science, technology, engineering, arts, and maths. Do you think there is a place for the more creative, more artistic brain in the realm of science and technology?
Of course there is. Because if we are not creative, we don't have like invention, we don't have news, you know? Would everything be the same? So it's all about creativity. Even maths, physics or chemistry or biology or even dance, let's say. You need to be creative, you know? And I think in this area, tech area, more than ever, because you need to be creative to find like troubleshooting or to create new machines, create new ways to repair, for example, a server, computer. And that's one question everybody asks, what is about maths? Do you like maths? Not everything is about maths, but it's everything connected. We see numbers in the day by day. It's everything, and at the end, everything, of course, and it's related to numbers, but it's not only maths, it's not only art, it's a whole thing together, you know? I can't see maths separately, or physics separately, chemistry. It's all together, if you can put all together, you know? That's what I sometimes kind of messy with my background, because people sometimes they don't really believe, how did you do that? Can you provide like certificates or say, okay, yeah, all the news.
And so explain to me a little bit about your involvement with Amazon then.
So Amazon, it's a long relationship. Since I started studying sign language, be very interested. I grew up learning sign language. I had a deaf friend in my village and we grew up like basically together in the same school. But when I started studying sign language and I was planning teaching sign language or develop technology or, you know, using sign language as a, like, let's say a channel of communication to improve the way for, like, making mechanisms to help people who doesn't know sign language to communicate with who it's a deaf person or use sign language, whatever. And I, first time I was Googling a book, wasn't available in my country. They never translated to Portuguese, this book. And I found it like a Amazon bookstore, something like that in Portuguese. And I just was researching for this book in Amazon website. It's when Amazon came to my life for the first time and started thinking, how these people sell books online? What is behind this? Which technology is this, you know? I wasn't really into technology, but I start like think about Amazon. And a few years later, I was applying for like the data center technician course in Tala. And I'm so surprised. I'm surprised, I'm in love with AWS style. And the first thing I realized that I was before, and I never like thought that I was, is be a customer obsessed, to have a passion for people. And I love people. As much as don't party too much, but my passion is for people, like communication, you know, and trying to do as much as I can to deliver the best. And when I got to here, I saw that they do exactly the same. So, well, I'm feeling at home. You know,
Barry Feeney is my name, and I'm head of Department of Computing in TU Dublin Tala campus. So we've around 450 full-time students, around 300 part-time students. I guess we produced around 70 honours degree graduates this year. Not a huge department, but we're very focused on keeping in line with what the industry does and what the changes are that are needed for new graduates coming out in the current marketplace.
Yeah, it's definitely a popular career choice, and obviously we're just at the end of the CAO run for this year. So a lot of students will be coming to you again in September. How agile are your courses? Do you adapt to what industry needs, and how close do you work with different industry players to ensure that your graduates are ready for the job place?
Well, that's really the focus of our department. So we have strong connections, not only with Amazon AWS, also with Microsoft, with Google, with SAP, who'd be very local to us out in Tala as well. And we try to keep abreast of the current trends so that the students have knowledge that'll last them a career, but also have the technology that's needed right away. Mm-hmm. So occasionally you'll find that we're actually delivering modules on material that wasn't invented or wasn't in use when people started their degree, because we have an ability to take on board with projects and with exercises like that, new technologies.
So already in the show this evening, we've heard from some of the students who've passed through your doors in recent times. How many or what portion of your students are a little bit older? So returning to education.
So that depends on the time and how the economy is going. So back around the time of the financial crash, we had a fair upsurge in mature student activity at that stage. That's tailed off a little bit now. When the economy goes well, less people feel the need to return to full-time education. But obviously, the part-time program, which is nearly 50% of our cohort, has nearly all mature students in that, because mature people see the way careers are going out in the real world, and they want to be part of an exciting and interesting career. They're good problem solvers, so they come and learn to get themselves new opportunities.
Yeah, the life experience tends to make a bit of a difference as well. In terms of the types of courses, and, you know, particularly with the mature students, when they come in, do they have a particular career in mind when they're taking up one of your courses?
Well, quite often mature students have been working in an organization where they see a significant IT department or a significant IT component in their work, and they can see the direction that things are taking. So they're coming quite informed and they're quite realistic. They don't see themselves necessarily as taking over the world in computing and software terms, but they do see that there are worthwhile careers in things like data analytics, cloud infrastructure, IT security. These are new growing areas where there's lots of specialist people needed, as well as, of course, software developers are always in demand. Good software developers are always in demand.
And the people that we've heard from on the programme all have different backgrounds. Do you have to have a certain level of digital literacy or digital comprehension to come into one of your part-time courses? What is sort of the required minimum?
Well, this particular programme, we've tried to have a broader net on it. So we've looked for people who have good experience of problem solving, people who have good experience of dealing with situations and overcoming challenges in that. In the classic full-time undergraduate, you'd be looking for a Leaving Cert and so many grades in different subjects, including mathematics. But we have a range of ways of establishing if people have equivalent to that. Sometimes people may need to do a bridging course before coming into full third level education. In considering the applicants for this particular course, we looked for we wanted really diverse range of problem solvers to give them an opportunity. We have a good understanding of the role that's needed. We had good conversations with AWS on the type of person they wanted. So digital literacy wasn't an essential. Having said that, we would always ask somebody, what's your motivation for doing a program and how do you know it's the right program for you? And it's easier to provide evidence if somebody has engaged somewhat with the digital world and engaged somewhat with the digital environment usually in a troubleshooting way or in a problem solving way. Even if it's fixing their own Wi-Fi at home or resetting their own routers or setting up their own computers or something like that, or maybe creating a website, maybe running the social media for some of their own clubs or organisations. There are different ways people can demonstrate the skills and the understanding of IT.
Mm-hmm. And so talk to me then a little bit about the relationship between your department and AWS.
Well, we've built up a relationship over a number of years. We've had graduates working in here and we've had people come out to talk about careers in AWS. About 3 years ago, Matt Pye came out to talk about careers in AWS, and he also mentioned there might be an opportunity to become an Amazon Academy, which is preparing people to be cloud solutions architects, quite an advanced career option. And we joined a beta program to become one of the first Amazon Academies in Europe. We were successful in that. I think we built a good relationship in that Amazon understood that we could deliver new courses and new technologies. Then we started discussing other possibilities for collaboration, and one of those was this course here, which we're both keen on because we live in the TALA community and we wanted to give something, opportunities for people from the TALA community specifically, although it's full South Dublin and wider, for people to come and get a career in technology. Amazon has a presence in TALA as well as a presence in the city centre, and is quite keen on giving back to its communities. And we've seen that through their actual actions, not just through words.
Mm-hmm. And do you find the association with AWS and with Amazon a draw for students? Because it's such an iconic brand. Everybody knows the brand. Everybody knows the logo. If I want to work in this industry, surely I'm going to be drawn to something like that.
Absolutely. And insiders in the IT business know that AWS are leaders in public cloud computing. And this is a place to be if you want to be at the cutting edge of public cloud computing. So the fact that we've established a strong relationship of trust with them and that we're running these types of programs with them really helps to reinforce the quality of the programs that we're delivering.
And you yourself, do you get great satisfaction being associated with, you know, the industry players that you've mentioned, not just Amazon, but the others, because it does sort of add an extra layer of clout to your offering?
Well, that's the main goal in our department. The staff are very committed to the idea that they're creating professional careers for students in some of the cutting edge areas of computing. They have a lot of them come from the industry themselves, and they get a great pride in seeing people going out and getting those jobs. We've a long established placement program with 6 months placements in a lot of different companies. We place 95-100 students every year into the industry. And we found that that's the best way to really show what our students can do and the quality of what they're offering. That's been very successful for us. So that is our main source of pride and fairness in the work we do.
I'm Mike Beery. I'm the country manager for AWS in Ireland.
So for those who don't know, everyone knows Amazon, but what exactly is AWS?
So AWS is Amazon Web Services. It's the part of Amazon that provides pay-as-you-go cloud computing and technology services for customers all over the world.
Okay, and so what we've been hearing so far on the program today is from people who are training to do incredibly interesting jobs at TU Dublin. Explain to me what AWS gets from this partnership.
Sure. So we've been investing in Ireland for 10, 11 years now, and investing in South Dublin, especially in the Tala area, for almost all that time. So the Tala community has been a very important part of the story of the growth of AWS in Ireland. And what we've recognized in talking to the community is they're very curious about who we are, what we do. They're very proud of having us as part of the community, and we're very proud to be part of the wider Tala and South Dublin community as well. So we recognize that we are building infrastructure, cloud computing infrastructure in Ireland, and we need great talent to help us run it and manage it on behalf of our customers. So we looked to TU Dublin at the Tala campus to partner with us to design a program that helped us find great talent and train people to be able to run our infrastructure here in Ireland.
And what I find interesting is that the people that we've spoken to are mature students. So very often when you think of tech companies and hiring, they usually go for recent graduates. Is that a conscious decision on behalf of AWS to get people maybe with a little bit more life experience?
We look for people who had a kind of an, what's the word I'm looking for? An aptitude for a hard problems, interesting technology, were self-starters who were able to manage kind of prioritization and problem solving. One of the things that's core to how we think of who we hire in Amazon, but also I think applies to who joined the program, is we look for people who like to learn and be curious. And so I think what you see in the people who applied were people who are really curious about the future of technology, really curious about where the cloud is going in terms of enabling other organizations. And that just so happened that most of the people who were successful in the program had lots of life experience behind them as they came in.
And so what sort of jobs are you looking to fill, and what sort of jobs can come from doing the course at TU Dublin?
So data centers and the cloud infrastructure are large and complex, and so there's lots of different roles in there. And people also have sometimes they think that if you join an organization like Amazon or AWS, that you have to be really strong in software engineering or coding. But there's lots of other roles within our organization around technology. And so what we were looking for were people who were problem solvers, who could think on their feet, who could understand how complex technology works, and make sure it's working perfectly all the time for our customers. Running the cloud computing infrastructure in a data center, we look for people who are strong data center technicians. So those are people who understand the technology there and can fix and repair and replace as they go and make sure everything's working really well for our customers. So the data center technician is the kind of most important frontline role within our data center infrastructure.
And in terms of a career prospect, is this something that's going to be around? I know it's very hard to predict what jobs are going to be long-term in the world of tech because it's changing every second. But is this something that would have a transferable skill set so that you can evolve and continue to work in the tech space?
Yeah, we believe that the journey to the cloud is just beginning for most companies and enterprises, even governments around the world. And the pace of growth in our organization reflects that. So we think there is huge growth potential for these kinds of roles and for the value of the cloud to economies all over the world. So we think there's many, many years of where we will be building and managing the kind of infrastructure that the data center technicians will be managing here in Dublin.
And again, back referencing the personal stories that we've heard, not everybody comes from a technology background and ends up working in a big tech company.
Right.
How important is it to have different kinds of brains coming into this space?
It's vital, you know, so there's this is complex technology, but a lot of times this is applying high judgment in fast-paced situations. And so we like people who have had life experience, who have faced adversity sometimes in the past, who know how to work out their way through a difficult situation. We can teach people a lot of the technical elements, and the TU Dublin team have done an amazing job in terms of developing out the curriculum. So that people come into us for the internship part of the program with great technical understanding of how they need to approach our technology. So high judgment, focus on our customers' ability to, as we say around here, invent and simplify are the traits that we look for, as opposed to years and years of strong, hard backgrounds in technology.
And we've just completed the CAO deadline, the final deadline. A lot of kids will be getting their Leaving Cert results in the coming weeks, and then their offerings. If someone doesn't get their first choice, or if someone ends up doing a course and in a few years' time realizes that's not the path they want to go down, are there other routes into the tech sphere?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we're proud of is we also recognize that the Irish government is very keen to develop the whole area of apprenticeships and a non-traditional path into work. And so in an organization like ours, there's the data center technician training program that we're talking about today is one such example. And to your point, the variety of backgrounds of how people have come into the program is, I think, illustrates the point that you don't have to have a classic academic background. We also have lots of roles here where people are working directly with our customers all the time. So having a really strong sense of a customer obsession is the term we look for, and being able to problem solve in real time, be curious about technology. We can teach people a lot about what they need to be effective here. So they don't necessarily need to have a classic degree to be successful in a technology company. We also invite people to join us who have backgrounds in the arts, in education. We do a lot of training for both internally for ourselves, but also for our clients and our customers. So being able to just communicate well becomes a really important part of your job if you join an organization like AWS.
Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com. Now, we've heard an awful lot about virtual reality in recent years. Many of us have experienced that dodgy roller coaster simulation whilst wearing a VR headset. Some people, myself included, may have wanted to vomit after that experience. But the technology has evolved significantly in recent years, leading to new ways for us to encounter the technology. Velocity VR is a new experience centre for those looking to encounter virtual reality. And I'm joined now on the line by its co-founders, Jennifer Kearns and Niall Clancy. Okay, Jennifer, I might start with you. Explain to me, what exactly is Velocity VR?
Velocity VR is an entertainment centre open to all ages, absolutely everyone from 5 to 95. We can offer an underwater experience for the smaller kids, right up to an educational experience that's open to all ages. We have a Titanic experience, which is actually developed by another local company in Waterford, Immerse VR. This is a seated experience and is proving to be very popular. We also then have an arcade style downstairs, which has a lot of different elements.
You're grand.
I'm sorry.
You're fine. Okay, so you mentioned there that you have, the educational side as well as the gaming side, which is quite interesting because very often when people think of virtual reality, it is either sitting in a chair doing the roller coaster or, you know, I talked about on the Pat Kenny show a few years ago with the PSVR, I was kind of Batman in my apartment in Leopardstown. Why and where did the idea come from for this business, and why did you decide to follow it up?
Well, yes, a lot of people have associate virtual reality with just gaming. We wanted to show people it's not all about gaming. I have no gaming experience. I was apprehensive when Niall asked me to try on a headset that he had, and I was blown away. I then went, we were at a conference, technological conference, and there was a lot of VR there, which we tried, and I was nervous at first because I thought, okay, I've no gaming experience. Mm-hmm. This isn't for me. Like, I won't know what to do. I'm going to make a clown of myself. I won't enjoy it because I won't be able to use the controllers. But it's suitable for everyone. I had a five-year-old in here the other day that I turned my back for a second and he was playing the game. I had a grandmother that was here yesterday at the opening day with her grandson. She couldn't believe that she could actually play a game with her grandson. I've had parents say to me, this is a new way to interact with my kids, my older kids, instead of them sitting in front of a TV. I've tried to sit down with them. there's so many more elements that people don't realize that we can offer here at Velocity. We have premium VR, which you might know, Jess, is the free roaming end of VR. We launched this in January. We have a facility, we were the first free roaming facility in Ireland. This has been phenomenal. The response from it is phenomenal. We have recently added escape rooms also.
How does that work? Now, that would freak me out. That would absolutely freak. I don't like the notion of escape rooms. So talk to me how exactly that works.
Funny enough, the response has actually been the opposite. People actually think they would hate going into an actual real escape room where they actually can't get out.
Okay.
The fact that they're able to lift the headset off their head is actually comforting them.
Okay.
I did it with a friend of mine and she was just blown away. Seeing the people communicate, they come in quiet and they're not even talking to each other. They step into the escape room and the place is filled with sound.
It's crazy because virtual reality, I think up until this point, it's gotten a bit of a bad reputation because people do think that you are completely isolated and you're entering into a virtual reality. So you're not going to engage with people. But it's like hearing what I've heard about what you guys do, there is a real social aspect to this.
Oh, completely. And that's what Velocity is all about. We want it to be interactable. We want families. We want parents to be able to interact with their kids. We want parents to see the educational point of view of it. That, you know, they can come in here for an hour and they can have fun with their kids. And their kids are getting then their gaming experience and being able to talk about it with their friends. So it's for parents that maybe not want to have consoles at home. We have consoles also that they can play with here. And it's really for everyone. It's amazing, the response so far. And hopefully it'll continue and we'll continue to expand with what the demand is looking for.
I think it's going to definitely take off because what I like about what you guys are doing, and we had another company that are based in Sandyford on the programme a few weeks ago, is that it's a very safe environment to try virtual reality for the first time. As you say, you've got all kinds of ages, all kinds of people coming in. And when VR is done well, there's nothing to be concerned about.
Exactly.
Like that's the difference.
Yeah. And hopefully it'll continue. So far, we haven't had anyone with motion sickness. Now, it won't happen, but so far, so good. Everyone has given us the thumbs up. People that walk in thinking they're only bringing their kids end up playing.
Oh, long may that last. That's great.
Yeah.
So like this, it seems like, you know, I also heard about teams going, you know, team bonding experiences. So if you have a team of like 15 people, you can go along. Niall, I might bring you in at this point just to talk a little bit about the experience itself. Because if, for those who've never even tried on a VR headset, if you go along to something like Velocity VR to either do the sort of free roaming upstairs or to do one of the experiences, what exactly happens when you walk in the front door of the company?
So one of our staff will greet you obviously when they come in, and we'll give you a menu of all the different experiences that we can offer. So we'll have a quick chat with the customer and generally gauge what type of experience they want to do, whether they want to do the seated experience, the gaming bays, or the free roaming or escape rooms upstairs. So just to give an example, we've groups that do the free roaming upstairs. They come up. And we put a powerful PC essentially in a backpack onto their backs. We hand them a couple of guns, and then they enter a zombie infested world where they have to overcome some, not just shooting, but there's a few puzzles in there as well, which is it's quite funny to see people's reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jess, yeah.
Yeah, no, and so, you know, when you have the menu, how do people know what the right one for them is? You know, if it's their first time, is there something that you'd recommend? Or because the quality of the VR is so high, you know, it's kind of anyone can have a go of anything.
Yeah, so we'd have a number of games on the gaming bays, and we'd have them separated into categories. So if it's a kid, we click a little box on our system here, and it just restricts the amount of games in that are suitable for the kids. So if they're in there the first time, there's one or two experiences. One is called the lab, where it basically goes through all the basics of VR. So from shooting a very, very basic bow and arrow painting and throwing rocks from one area to another. So that gives them a grasp of, and it also helps us because it allows the customer get to use with the controllers, because some of the VR controllers, there is a lot of buttons on them, a lot of squeezing to do on the controller. Mm-hmm. So that's offer really helps us, also helps them get over that initial fear and that initial, oh my God, what do I do with this wand in my hand? How do I go forward? So
yeah. Okay. So there are sort of guides in place. And who are your, like you mentioned there about, you know, the age range that can come along. Is there the appetite for virtual reality in Waterford? Because I know there's a lot of tech hubs down there. I've done shows from there in recent years. There is sort of a tech scene bubbling. So is there the demand down there for the VR experience?
Absolutely. Since we opened the Free Roam venue in January, we've been quietly advertising it for the last couple of months. Because it's a technology business, there's been a few bugs where we've had to clear out. Mm-hmm. People have come in and they've had a great experience. And then from that, we've had a great return on customers because of word of mouth. So I can clearly say that we haven't had anybody, I don't think, Jennifer, that came in and said, oh my God, I had a bad experience. I wouldn't go back there. We've had some people come back 7, 8, 9 times even, back to do the same content again. And everybody tells you need to refresh the content, but we've had some people back many times.
Well, that's great. It's kind of like the modern day arcade, isn't it? It's like the sort of the evolution of the old school pinball machines. It's now VR experiences.
Exactly, and it's really only getting started. It's an industry that's probably only 3 or 4 years old. Mm. It's quite exciting to see what will happen going forward.
You mentioned there about refreshing the content. From a business point of view, what did you guys need to get to open the doors? Like, do you have big, massive servers and a number of headsets? I assume then that you can install new games or experiences as they become available over time. So you don't necessarily have to buy new hardware the entire time.
Yes. Yeah, so we deal with a number of companies that there's one company that which are also run our software. Mm-hmm. And we can license games with that software. For the likes of the Free Roaming, the content is limited at the moment because it's a very new concept in the market. There is a number of companies doing the Free Roaming, but for companies like ourselves that kind of put all the pieces of the technology together, the content is still quite weak at the moment. So one of our main companies that we deal with is a company in Amsterdam, and they provide that content for the Free Roaming. You've probably heard of Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
They provide our escape room software. So for the Ubisoft escape rooms are based on a very popular game called Assassin's Creed. The first one's called Escape the Pyramid. So and Ubisoft have told us that they're going to be developing a title every 6 months. So that's good for us that we see these companies investing in VR and willing to push the industry further, that it's not just once-off titles. They're going to be refreshing our content as well.
That's deadly. That's great because, yeah, you know, a lot of parents, I'm sure, will be listening to this now. And so if you have a child who's obsessed with gaming and just doesn't want to move from their console, this could be a way for you to engage with their gaming hobby, I suppose, and give it a go yourself and play and try and understand what it is about gaming that they like. And it's a good way to kind of get them up and get them moving.
Exactly. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're going to try and push going forward is that if you have a group of 4 friends and they're 4 of them are sitting at home playing the Xbox against each other online using a headset, why not come in and see each other in virtual reality?
Yeah.
And have an experience and something that's different, something that you haven't done before. So that definitely, that's one of the areas that we're going to be pushing over the next couple of months.
It sounds brilliant. I can't wait to get down and give it a go. Jennifer, if people want more information, what is your website and how can they get in touch?
They can get in touch with us on Facebook, velocityvr.ie, or Instagram, or contact our website, www.velocityvr.ie.
Brilliant stuff. Well, guys, best of luck, and sure, I might see you down for a game very soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jess. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, we'll hear about the astrology app endorsed by Channing Tatum.
Tech Talk. Rate and subscribe.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, while most of us have been talking about the Face app this week, actor Channing Tatum has been all about a new app called The Pattern. Some have claimed it to be the next big thing in social media, but I personally know nothing about it. So I've invited Fionnuala Jones back onto the show to explain it all. So Fionnuala, what exactly is it?
The Pattern essentially is a free astrology app. It's available on iOS and Android, and Channing Tatum, Magic Mike star, he is obsessed with it. The app has blown up in popularity since he mentioned it on Twitter. He's been using it to track his signs and whatever else, and is convinced that the app knows more about him than he knows about himself.
Okay, so have you tried it?
I have tried it. So essentially what The Pattern is, to break it down a bit more, it's a social network that helps you better understand yourself and connect with others on a deeper level. That's the App Store description. It uses your birth chart, which is a measure that maps where all the planets were on their journey around the sun at the exact moment you were born, to create a personality profile or a pattern and let you compare it to others. So your friends, maybe your boyfriend, your family, whoever you want. I've used it. So just for anyone who's curious, I am a Leo. I was born on the 8th of August, 1995 at roughly 11 a.m. My mom didn't remember specifically, which is very nice. So my daily pattern for today is learn to cultivate a sense of contentment and wholeness by becoming your own best partner first. This way, when you meet someone, it's based on genuine connection instead of need. The Pattern thinks I'm single because my boyfriend won't join the app and connect with me so we can compare patterns, because he thinks it's a load of guff. But it's really interesting. It also tracks transits, which in the astrology world is the movement of planets in the sky and how they might affect you, like, overall and your day and all that jazz.
Okay, so I know you can't see me right now, but my face is like, what? Like, is it a load of guff, as you politely put it? Or, like, what do we think about this? What do we feel about this?
I think it's really interesting. Like, I tend to take all of this with a pinch of salt. But I think I've talked about why I think astrology is having this, like, second wave of popularity now. And I think it provides people with this kind of a bit of escapism when you look around and, like, the political landscape is so divided and people are living these such stressful lives. Apps like this and just astrology in general, I think, gives them that freedom to self-reflect and look into themselves a bit more when the outside world is a bit loud and a bit mad.
But is there not the fear factor? Like, now I may sound utterly stupid here, so bear with me, but is there not the fear factor that this will now become like the people who read yesterday's horoscope going, oh, that's why it happened, because my horoscope said this would happen? And it's like, well, you're reading it on the back of a tabloid, so that's probably just someone sitting at their desk writing that. Like, how, what do we know about the people behind this app? Is it legit? Is it, or is it just someone spinning out some hashtag content?
The thing is, like, the founders were actually in touch with Channing Tatum after, because he made some accusations on the on his own Twitter feed that he was like, they must be listening to us, blah, blah, blah. And, like, apparently the founder rang him then and said that, oh, that's not true. It's her passion project. She's really interested in it. A lot of the other astrology sites seem to back this app because I think it gives a very wide overview of someone. I think of the past criticisms of those tabloid horoscopes, as you've mentioned, they tend to be put a very positive spin on things. And as you said, like, they're kind of written so broadly that you can take anything from them. This isn't just, I think, feeding you what you want to hear. To be honest, I've found even my own patterns over the last few days have been very accurate to my real life dilemmas and stuff that I've been going through, even in terms of work and making decisions. So, like, I don't think it's something you should be basing any massive life decisions on. But I think it definitely is interesting, even from a case of maybe self-care, self-reflection. Maybe if you need to just take 5 minutes, see what it's saying to you and be like, okay, well, maybe I need to sit down now and have a think and map a few things out and see where I can go from here.
Okay, so you mentioned there that there's an element of sort of social networkness about it. When you set it up, what information are you putting into it?
Okay, so firstly, you enter your name, your gender, exact date and time and place of your birth.
Right.
That's it. And then it gives you your pattern, and it's broken down into three sections. So it's foundation, development and relationships. And they're broken down into subsections reflecting aspects of your personality. You, as you said, you can connect with friends or your partner. And then your compatibility will be evaluated, not necessarily based on your sign, so not like Leo Aries compatibility, but on the personality traits that the pattern generates.
Right. Like,
so skeptical.
I am, but I'm skeptical of absolutely everything all the time. I think that's just what 10 years of working in journalism will do to you. It just makes you a cynic. But I worry about these sort of apps because, firstly, it's come onto our radar because of a celebrity endorsement. And we don't necessarily know, or I certainly don't know, a whole host about the company behind it. And you just wonder about, you know, the types of people using it. I think, as you said, you're going in eyes wide open. You're getting elements of sort of comfort for it, but you're not sitting down going, I'm going to quit my job because it told me to quit my job. You're just kind of using it as sort of a pause for thought. I do wonder about people downloading apps because of celebrity endorsement and then letting it rule their lives, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of speculation as well, just because of Channing's video, like, is it SponCon? Is it a bit disingenuous? Because obviously he didn't disclose or anything. Like, he seemed to be just genuinely surprised about what the app had told him and whatever.
Mm.
But I mean, yeah, I think it is definitely, if you are going to download it, just a pinch of salt. It's a bit of crack. It's really interesting to see and to like look at how your connections with people, how they look. Like, just for example, I have a mutual friend that I know purely from being online, mm-hmm. and our pattern is you and X likely have different approaches and perspectives. It may not be obvious or a problem between you, but if there are miscommunications, this may be the reason. You're not always coming from the same place or truly understand each other, which is very interesting. So maybe we're not as close as we thought we'd be, or maybe we don't have in common as much as I thought. So yeah, like, pinch of salt, bit of crack. Harmless, but I do agree that maybe don't interpret it too deeply. Not that deep, as the old saying goes.
Is like, could you foresee something like this becoming a new Instagram or a new place that people go and hang out? Like, is there the same level of, like, can I see your pattern and can I engage with your pattern or can I like your pattern or whatever?
Yes, you can see my pattern, but I think that's as far as the engagement goes. The thing about this app is that when I had originally heard it being touted as the new Instagram.
Mm.
So obviously, because I'm obsessed with Instagram, I downloaded it. And initially I was like, I don't understand this. What the hell? And then when Channing said it again, I was like, okay, maybe I need to go look into this again. So off the back of his shout out, the app jumped from like 1,000 and something, like way, way down the overall app charts, up to like 100 and something. I couldn't find where it is now, but initially, also when he shouted it out, like, the app crashed, like, such was the traffic that went to it. I can't see it rivaling Instagram or anything like that unless it becomes a bit more sophisticated in terms of it being a bit broader than just giving you like personality traits and like an evaluation of your day. But I mean, I do think it is something that is going to grow in popularity because astrology is still on the rise. Like, everything you see in pop culture now is just a reference to signs and moons and suns and stars. So, like, I'd imagine this is going to be an app on all of my friends' phones very, very soon.
I told you the other day in an email that I was having a crappy day and you replied with what?
Mercury's in retrograde.
And then I read this and then I was like, that's the reason why everything is going wrong recently. Explain what that means, please.
Oh, God. So it's basically like, to put it simply, it's just the planets are going ape in the way that they're moving. And a lot of people use it to kind of explain why things are going wrong in your life. So I actually have a Mercury retrograde update on the pattern, which I'll read for you now briefly.
Oh, do, yeah.
Most people assume that the world works in a logical, linear and somewhat predictable way, but that's not always the case. Expecting that on any given day, everything will go as planned actually helps perpetuate this illusion. During this time frame, these assumptions are severely compromised. The regular logical flow of events will appear to be disrupted. So if you're having a bad day, just blame Mercury. It's fine. It's in retrograde. Don't worry about it. It's not you.
It's not that I'm a gobshite. It's Mercury's fault.
Absolutely not. It's the stars. It's the sky. Just forget about it.
I would love, I don't know. Am I the only cynic? Does anyone else, you know, am I an idiot for not believing it? Email techtalk@newstalk.com. I'm going to download it and I will report back on how I find it. I'm going to use it for a week and just see. I may come back all zen and just be, you know, having considered my pattern a better person. Who knows? Because there's a lot of work to be done, to be fair. Fionnuala Jones, freelance writer, journalist, music critic and all-round sound egg. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jess.
And that is all we have time for this week. If you missed any of the programme, you can listen back in full on the Go Loud app or subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Patrick Egan is up next here on News Talk. I'll chat to you next week.